In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for Gerald Sexton. We keep getting these Masses offered for this beautiful man. He's definitely in heaven. He's definitely in heaven. But God uses the graces everywhere. Today also happens to be, he died right after baptism, just in case you've forgotten who he is. Today also happens to be the birthday of my own father. So if you'll keep him in prayer, he's suffered a lot having to be my father over these years. And please do keep in prayer Miss Maggie Romero, who we laid to rest today at her funeral mass. Today I always tend toward, even though I love St. Joseph Calasanz, he's got such a beautiful story, and he was such a good educator, just like Sister Anne over here, but I always like to tend toward St. Louis, because, one, he's a king, and secondly, because my own grandfather's name was Louis, and my dad, his middle name is Louis because he was born today. So that's why I tend toward that. My little brother, middle name as well, the same because of that. So that's what the Mass is being offered in honor of him. He's one of those great saints, one of the early Goth saints, saints of the Goths. So after the time of Charlemagne, who established this great Gothic kingdom and became the first of the Holy Roman Empire, is crowned by the Pope himself, Saint Louis was one of his successors, right? And so he came in that long line of Gothic kings, and the reason why he's remembered as the saint is he's often known as Saint Louis the Pious. Saint Louis the Pious. So when you think of St. Louis the Pious, just think of what Fabian really wants to be like, because that's what Fabian wants to be like, just like St. Louis in so many ways, just totally pious, totally all about God, totally nothing else, but he was still a king. And many scholars will tell you that the reason why the French did not grow and end up destroying everything and becoming all that there was because of Louis, where he sought not to push the rights of his kingdom so much, but sought to enrich the church in such a way. And if you read his last testament to his sons, when he divided his kingdom in this way, which also was advised against, you see how all he's doing is urging them. First and foremost, love the Lord your God above everything, because in this is found eternal salvation and life. Make that first. The next thing that he proceeds to do, he just lists a series of things that just talk about the faith. To listen to the divine office recited, the Liturgy of the Hours, make sure you pay attention to that, engage in that prayer, because that's prayer of the church too. He tells them the next thing that can be anything related to regular ruling is take care of the poor. Make sure that you love them because Christ gave the kingdom to such as these. And then he goes on to more and more just devout religious things that he needs to be able to do. Just all about it beginning to end. Because he wants his sons not to, for their names to be inscribed upon gold or great plaques or great in the history books. He wants them to be great in the kingdom of God. He wants them to be great in the kingdom of God. Maybe I preached on this last year, I don't know, but just in case I didn't, that's what we want for our children, isn't that? That's what we should be wanting for our children. That's the herencia that we should really be trying to give them. Not that they do great things in the world, which we do want them to do. Not that they become great and well-paid in these things, or their accomplishments to be recognized, or for their goodness to be proclaimed on the hilltops, which, yeah, of course, as parents, we want that. I, as a priest, want that for my parishioners, for the young ones that we come up right now. I just got a message right before Mass from one of the young ladies who went to college for the first time, just saying, Father, it's amazing. Thank you for keeping me in prayer. I felt it here. Plus, I met your cousin who's down here, and she's pretty amazing, too. You know, these various things. And so all these things, we want that to be done. Sister Anne, with those who you've taught throughout the whole of your history here with us, to see them succeed, you're going, yes, yes, they're doing it right, and they're keeping the faith, and they're doing all these great things. We love that about them. But really, the only thing we know that matters is, are they going to make it to heaven? Are they going to die in the state of grace? Do they really understand why it is that God made them? And are they living by that? Are they living by that? Let's ask our Lord to impress that more and more, that we seek that first and foremost above all for those who are there in our relations and those who God has given us an ability to be with. But on our gospel, the Lord, may he never be spoken of as a nice guy, right? Our Lord, for the past 2, maybe 3 days, he's just been letting them have it, the scribes and the Pharisees, with a bunch of woes, with a bunch of tearing into them in very aggressive ways. Rather than getting into those things, what about we do the opposite of what our Lord is tearing into them? He says you're like whitewashed tombs. We hear about that a lot, whitewashed tombs. And so we know what that means, what he's talking about. What he's saying, that they're full of all sorts of putrescence, all sorts of the filth, every kind of filth. Well, instead of meditating on that, why don't we meditate on how it is that we can be pure in our own souls? We don't need to see the opposite. We need to know what it is to have pure hearts. And I want to give you something from a beautiful woman, Mother Elvira, who's the foundress of the Comunità Cenacolo, this beautiful Italian faith group that sprung up and spread throughout the world. I loved encountering them often when I'd go through Italy. In fact, anytime you go on any sort of pilgrimage, you're probably going to find a bunch of people from Cenacolo who are there, because they're just so full of life and love, such bright people. The foundress says this. She says, live every day, every daily action, as to come from a heart that has been healed and renewed. These are not just words, but they're facts. Therefore, we must honestly admit that our God is a living God who lives and walks with us. Many people continue to wait. They say, I want to understand God's will for me. She continues on to say, Jesus is the living word that speaks 1,000 times, both day and night, with 1,000 voices, because he wants us to hear and to understand. What does he want us to understand? She tells us. He wants us to understand that our heart is restless, tired, and full of tears until it rests in Jesus' heart. To be true witnesses and to proclaim him to those who are still don't know him, we must begin to listen to Jesus without telling ourselves any more lies. What are the lies that we tell ourselves? This beautiful woman, Elvira, the foundress of the Comunità Cenacolo, puts it for us. She says, we need to stop telling us all these lies, because even drug addicts admit this. Encountering Jesus in their lives, their lives have become a celebration. They show it through dancing, through suffering, through crying, through working, through singing. They reveal it to us by their transformed lives. I would repeat it to you throughout your life, the words that John Paul II proclaimed on the very first day of his pontificate. He said, open wide the doors to Christ. I say to you, open wide the doors of your life to Christ. Let us open our heart and our life. People need hope. They need trust. They need love. They need peace. They need everything. We are the ones who can satisfy their hunger. We are the broken bread that humanity needs today. Young people need to know that the world needs you, and that the only by forgiving will you be free and able to love everyone everywhere and at all times. Think of how beautiful it can be to love everyone everywhere. Love is the most profitable activity that you can do. You gain so much more just by loving. You don't have to lack anything. Love gives you life. And with life, then you have everything. She says, to conclude, I met Jesus. And I desire... She says, I have met Jesus. And I desire so much that each of you can meet him too. But this blessed woman, Elvira of Cenacolo, that beautiful group that just seeks to focus upon the person of Jesus and the intensity of that relationship they're in, reminds us that that's the way to purity of heart, is just to focus on the very person of Jesus, to see that the world needs so, so many things, that our family needs so, so many things, that this community here needs so, so many things. We don't have to run to the government or to run to those worldly organizations or run to school or run to a university or run to a trade school in order to find what they need. They don't need to run to a psychologist to figure it out. Where should they need to go? They should just have to run to you and me. To run to you and me. Because if we've been ones who really are full of the Eucharist, which we receive right now, full of the presence of Christ, like it is who we adore so profoundly in the most blessed sacrament that is here, then shouldn't we be full of Christ, which means to be full of love, which means to be full of the very essence of existence? They should just need to run to you and me. If we don't have that fully, we're not living in such a way that anybody who is in need can run to you and me, there's something in us that still needs to be purified. Then in some way, we have become those whitewashed tombs that our Lord is speaking against, those hypocrites, those ones who contain all manner of filth, dead men's bones inside. But we're running to the very place that can give us purity of heart and soul. That's here at Mass, here at the Eucharist. And so, whatever thing you find within yourself that is lacking this, even if you don't know what it is, you don't necessarily need to know. Just to stare at our Lord here in the silence of this beautiful low mass that is here. And to say, Lord, fill me with that. I know that I should be one that somebody, whoever, whatever their need of hope or of distress is, that they could run to me because I'm so with you all the time. Lord, fill me with that thing so that the next person who does have need doesn't just find me, but encountering me and seeking me out, Lord, somehow they just find you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.